Next on BYUSN, heartbreak on Valentine's Day as BYU's Richie Saunders tears his ACL against Colorado and is out for the season. We'll discuss the Tater Tot King's legacy at BYU, how expectations change moving forward, and how BYU survived an OT against the Buffaloes.
BYU head coach Kevin Young breaks down Rob Wright's 39-point performance and what BYU needs to do to beat number one Arizona in Tucson this week. And Jonathan Tavernari joins the show to share who he expects to fill the void left by Richie Saunders and what his expectations are for BYU the rest of the season.
Welcome to this President's Day edition, Monday, February 16th, the BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Jimmer jersey collector Jason Shepard.
Boy, this is certainly the time where if you had one of those Jimmer jerseys, you were rocking it this weekend. Everybody that I know that had one was wearing that thing on Saturday, which was really cool. And the jersey retirement ceremony could not have gone any better. I did not get to see it live because I was in Boulder calling the game with the women's team. So I watched it later, and first class all the way, and he deserves every bit of it.
It was amazing. It really was. And, you know, it was hard not to feel the emotions of, oh, my gosh, is Richie Saunders hurt? Shades of 2014 Jim McMahon jersey retirement with Taysom Hill's injury there. That was tough. But some of these signs that people brought were from 2011, and they had the jersey on every seat. And great speeches from Brian Santiago and President Reese and Jimmer and the whole family, Whitney and the kids, and their parents were there. It was awesome. It was a cool weekend to celebrate Jimmer and what he means as a person and a player for BYU and the church and this program. So it was awesome. But it was really difficult knowing that Richie Saunders may have ended his season, and he did. The emotions of that game were high for a million reasons. And unfortunately, you know, BYU winning the game in Jimmer's jersey of retirement, there was this shroud of sadness because Richie never came out. He walks off on his own, shades of Kobe making a shot with an Achilles tear at the free throw line. Richie's like, yeah, I'm feeling okay. Well, Richie Saunders is a superhuman. But unfortunately, tore his ACL. He is out. We'll break it down right now. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Richie Saunders is down, holding onto his leg underneath the basket.
How do you attribute for all of the hustle plays?
Well, Saunders, big bucket.
BYU, Richie Saunders.
Saunders the rebound. Puts it in
to Richie for three. Got it!
Richie Saunders left the Colorado game on Saturday in the first minute with an injury. Did not return yesterday. He tweeted, I did tear my ACL. My season's over. My career at BYU is over. Here is a look at it. Talking to a member of the family, they felt like maybe on the way up was the tear, and then when we came down, it was already kind of torn at that point, undetermined. But he walks off on his own, which is crazy. What will Richie Saunders' legacy be at BYU? And I hate that we're talking about this midseason, not after this.
Yeah, this is not a topic that we wanted to be having right now. The interesting part about this for me was that I didn't know it happened. Because I'm in the middle of calling the game, and I really wasn't paying attention to Twitter. I was actually giving scores of the men's game during the women's game without knowing at all that it had happened. So the game gets over. We get on the bus, and I turn the game on, and someone starts talking. I'm like, what did you just say? That's how I found out about it. So about an hour and a half after everybody else, then it hit me, the enormity of it. And I know we're going to ask favorite moments for the listeners and the viewers today from BYU Sports Nation on what, for me, you talk about legacy, and there's not really one moment that stands out. For me, his legacy is a couple of things. His legacy is being a Cougar after dreaming of always being a Cougar. Mm-hmm. You know, that is special. When this is your team and the team that you dreamed of playing for your whole life, when you're able to do that and not just play, but be one of the superstars and pillars of a group of players during the time you were there, that is beyond special. And there's not a moment that really stands out to me because there's so many, but what will always stand out to me is waiting for each moment, each game. Because there was always a moment, whether it was a big shot from Richie or a block shot or a big dunk or a hustle play or an offensive rebound that he had no business getting to. There was always that one play in every BYU game that he sort of flexed his muscles and said, I'm going to make a big difference in this game somehow. That's the legacy for me of Richie.
He's the epitome of what a BYU guy is, right? Four-year, loved the school, committed, loyal, absolutely could have followed Mark Pope to Kentucky, did not. The ultimate teammate, hard worker, the teamwork, the work ethic, his quick shot, great three-point shooting, quick first step, his finishing package with both hands around the rim was elite. He was going to be drafted in the NBA. I do not believe now he will be drafted, unfortunately, because of the ACL. The road will be a bit harder. A team could draft him if they want and stash him and rehab him within their system. That would be awesome. I don't particularly think that's a high chance of happening. So that's difficult, too, let alone what it means for this season. But Richie is an all-time BYU guy, one of the greatest players BYU's ever played. I put him in the top 25 of greatest players at BYU. It was so fun to watch him because he was a role player, hustle guy, to most improved player in the Big 12 and a first-teamer to this year. He was going to be an All-American of some kind, I would think, from somewhere. One of the best college basketball players and part of a BYU group that we thought had a chance at the Final Four. It's just tough to feel like that chance is as high as it was without him, right? Can BYU still go to the Sweet 16? I think they can, and that's where my expectation is now. Hey, get to a Sweet 16 and let's see what happens after that. Before it was kind of Elite Eight plus, you could flirt with a Final Four. It's tough without Richie, and we'll push forward, you know, with that conversation in a moment. But what a player. Extremely likable at BYU. I think he's one of the most beloved players in a long time. I think people sort of empathize and sort of see themselves in Richie a little bit in terms of, hey, if I work hard enough, great. Well, you also have to be 6'5 and be able to make 42% of your threes and finish with both hands at the rim. But his headband, his hustle, I think all these things completely relatable. People love Richie Saunders, and this is devastating news on the court for BYU. Think about the win at Kansas a couple of years ago. You think about his second half performance at Kansas this year. You think about the free throws against Arizona. So many great moments for him. Every time he caught the ball, I thought, it's going in. There was never a moment where I didn't think he was going to make that shot. And now he tears his ACL and he is done for the year, which is just absolutely devastating for this BYU team this year.
Yeah, it's beyond anything of what it means for the team moving forward. It is devastating for Richie because of how hard he has worked during his entire career at BYU. And this is a guy, I really hope that there is a team or teams that certainly see what Richie can bring to the next level in the NBA, because he absolutely is an NBA player.
Totally.
And I hope that this isn't a big roadblock that prevents him from being able to realize that dream, because that would be a shame. He is an NBA player, and I do hope that there are teams that will take a chance on him, whether it's drafting him in the second round or, you know, one of those priority free agent ones that as soon as the draft is over, you get this guy, even if you know he can't play. We see these guys stash players from Europe on rosters all the time because they know they can be developmental players. And if it's going to take, you know, a year for him to be ready to go, this is a guy that can help a team win at any level. And I hope that he still gets that opportunity.
Shades of 2011, you know, we get the news, Brandon Davies not playing the rest of the year. Not the same exact situation, but just hear me out in terms of a great BYU team, one of the top three players on the squad goes down, you know, in this case, Richie with an ACL. Feels similar where it's like, oh, man, that affects this team in a great way, and now they have to figure it out without him. Can A.J. DeBonta and Rob Wright, like, crank it up and replace 18 points? 18 points is a lot of points to replace. So you kind of think it's got to be a collective effort from somebody on the bench, but the bench hasn't done a ton. We did see Saturday perhaps a model that could work moving forward. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute. Our question of the day, what is your favorite Richie Saunders moment from his BYU career? Let's celebrate Richie today and enjoy some memories of what he's done.
Yeah, first one coming in from Kurt Benson says, probably his 25-point game versus Wisconsin to advance to the Sweet 16. That was certainly memorable.
That was big time. PKP, says the moment he chose to stay at BYU twice in times of waning commitment to just one program, Richie did the unheard and stayed, forever a favorite for that alone. How many times is BYU going to have a four-year all-conference player ever again?
Yeah.
I mean, we hope Brooks Barr, Brody Kozlowski, Dean Rickert, we hope these guys are four-year guys. Are they at the level of Richie Saunders? I mean, Richie Saunders was an all-time special player. We hope these guys are good, too. He's special. I mean, it's a different era now.
Well,
and we hope that these guys exist in the future. Richie may be one of the few over the next couple years. Who knows?
Remember how devastated we all were to see that picture of he and his wife
airport?
At the airport in Lexington meeting with Coach Pope? Like, we were like, no. And so, yeah, for him to make that decision to come back, that cemented him in Cougar fans' minds as a BYU Cougar for life.
He chose BYU.
Yes, yeah. 100%.
John Taylor came third, we know. Said, I have to pick one. I think his junior was just amazing. Junior year, I assume. To see the progress was inspiring and a testament that KY was the right coach for this program. And Kevin's the one that told him, you're an NBA guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we see him on all these draft boards. Like, he raised his vision of what he could accomplish, which is awesome. We'll get more responses coming up a bit later. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, with Richie being out for the season, how does that change your expectations for the rest of the year?
Sweet 16 is still my sight for this group. I think there's enough talent there to feel like, hey, you can win two games. What seed will BYU be, Shep? They're kind of sitting at a six right now. They have a super tough schedule. In fact, according to ESPN's BPI, seventh toughest remaining schedule in the country. So with six games left, you're probably hoping you can go 3-3 somehow in this. At Arizona, Iowa State at home. I mean, we'll see what they are in the rankings today. They'll both stay in the top 10. You have two top 10 teams this week. Give me a split. That'd be amazing. Iowa State, obviously, at home, easier than at Arizona, although Arizona
could really be down a couple
little
players.
Bit. They have a tough road, too. They have probably the toughest schedule in the country. UCF's a tourney team, but they don't play as well on the road. At West Virginia, at Cincy, that's a tough road swing. If you can split that, that's probably good news because those are kind of 50-50s, as you see in KenPom win percentage. And then it'd be sweet to beat Tech on senior day, and in this case, freshman day. So I'm hoping BYU can get a 6 seed and pull off an upset again like last year against probably a 3 seed in the second round and go to the Sweet 16. And then let's see what they can do from there.
Yeah.
But if you got to that point, I think that's awesome because you still have A.J. DeBonta. And Rob Wright III may have had the best week of anyone in college basketball with 39 and then the 30 piece.
He's on an elite tear.
Absolutely.
Right now.
And they'll need.
Yes, 100%.
It doesn't have to be 30, but maybe.
Yeah. Look, in terms of expectations, you know, last week when Spencer and I were looking at the final seven games, you know, we both kind of landed on, we think 5-2 is possible. If they can go 5-2, they're in really good shape. I think with this, knowing that they've already got one of the wins, I'm kind of with you the rest of the way. If you can go 3-3, so you end up 4-3 in the final seven, I think you're in a good spot.
That's pretty good.
You know, the good news is, if there is any silver lining, is that you do have a couple of weeks to try and see how you play without Richie. You have a couple of games to see if what we saw, you know, with the bench guys coming up, whether it was Maruss or Alexei Kostic, you know, Mihailo Boskovic, guys like that who, you know, they combined for 18 points.
That was good.
Which was good because, yeah. You know, you mentioned, how are you going to come up with 18 points? Well, BYU came up with 18 points from bench guys. So
they did play Colorado.
Yes, it's true.
Who struggles defensively, especially from three.
You know, but here's if you – I'm not going to judge the performance at all in that game because I don't think we realize how difficult that game probably was to play for these guys when within the opening minute – one of your best players and one of the teammates that everybody loves beyond belief goes down and you realize it's probably not something that's minor. That is not to say that you kind of sleepwalk, but you're kind of in a daze.
Kind of.
You're kind of in a daze the rest of the way.
Yes.
And look, so the fact that BYU won, I think they get a lot of credit for that they were able to overcome that. But I'm not going to look into anything that happened in that game from a X's and O's standpoint because I can't even believe that they were able to play as well as they did after witnessing and going through something like that. But we talked so much about bench production. Prior to when it was the big three, yeah, you know you needed it, but you still kind of looked at it as a luxury because you still had the big three. Now it's not a luxury. Now you need it.
You have to have those two guys on every game.
Look, but to what you said, maybe it can be a combination. You know, maybe AJ takes a couple extra shots and you're getting 5 or 6 more points for him. Okay, Rob, man. 5 or 6 more points for him. And then you get Alexei. And who knows, maybe he's the one that gets the start.
Perhaps Tyler Morris.
Tyler Morris.
Seems like it's one of those two.
If you can get 6 or 7 points per game from about 3 or 4 different guys, from a production standpoint, you can make up for the loss. Now, the intensity, the moxie,
the hustle,
the leadership that he brings.
He's the heart of the team.
Yes.
That's
where you got to find out. But I'm with you. I still think this team absolutely can get to the Sweet 16, and then you just see what happens.
Yeah, and the hope is you can win. You can upset somebody in the second round. To have Richie and now Dawson and Nate Pickens and Brody Kozlowski, those were 4 of your probably 9 or 10 in the rotation, realistically, that you were hoping to play. Nate and Brody never played. Dawson was your 6th man. Richie goes out now. 2 of your top 6 are out for the season. Most teams could not sustain a high level of success given what happened there. And so BYU's got to overcome stuff. As you mentioned, number 22 BYU survived against Colorado, 90-86 in OT. Thanks to 39 from Rob Wright III after the game, Kevin Young had this to say about what it took to beat the Buffs.
Just that, grinding it, staying with it, not getting too emotionally, challenged with the way that that situation with Richie happened, and then obviously a dogfight of a game against a team that you feel like, the spread should have been a little more comfortable throughout the course of the game. But I knew it was going to be a game. Man, look, what Coach Boyle said after they got smacked at Texas Tech, you knew he was going to have his guys ready. They responded, but so did our guys, I think this league is very difficult. It's hard to win in our league, and so proud of our guys in an adverse-type night where we were able to come out and find a way to get a big win.
It was important because it would have been a quad 3 loss, and BYU 14-0 in quad 2-4. They don't have a bad loss at all. Oklahoma State! It's not a bad loss to the committee. It's bad to BYU's expectations. So how would you sum up BYU's win over Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, gutty, quite frankly, and for all the reasons that I mentioned a few minutes ago, to be able to come out and try, like Coach Young said, try and put that behind you. And he brought up a great point, something we talked about last week. We all knew Colorado was going to come in a little bit more focused after the comments from Coach Boyle. I mean, if you're not, then there's an even bigger problem in Boulder with that team. But they did. They refocused.
No word on if they went commercial or not the next morning.
Yeah, exactly. Again, Southwest is like,
why are we catching strays here?
Why are we,
jeez,
in this? But I call it gutty because of what they did. And it was nice to see the bench production stepping up. And look, what Rob and AJ did in that game, Rob is back-to-back 30-plus point performances. He was so good at Baylor. And then to come out and score the 39, and it's not just the points, it's the efficiency as well. You look at that, 12 of 16 from the field, 4 of 4 from deep, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, which is huge.
Yep. Incredible.
Those types of numbers. He's starting to play his best basketball the best time of the year for BYU.
Absolutely. That was an incredible performance, which brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Follow me on this one. This is the second season in BYU history where 2 different players scored at least 39 different games within a season. That's crazy, right? 1965, Joe Fairchild, Dick Nemelka, or John Fairchild, excuse me, who owns the career average mark, by the way, 20.9 at BYU. Jimmer below that. John Fairchild, pretty good. I interviewed him one time. His daughter played for New Mexico. He got drafted by the Lakers, but that's incredible that you have 2 super top-end guys. So that's great news, and BYU has some real firepower, but without Richie, it's going to be difficult. By the way, Kevin Young mentioned, hey, Kaba Keita's had a hand injury. Kaba can't grab the ball the same way. He's not dunking. In fact, he had an alley-oop that he would absolutely throw down. He just kind of laid it in. So that hand is really bothering him. I don't know if it's right or left, but he's not the same the last couple weeks. Now we know why.
Yeah.
And BYU's got, like you said, a couple weeks to figure it out before Kansas City, where, honestly, if you win a quarterfinal game, that's probably great news. And then if you compete well in a semi, great. But I don't know that you help or hurt your seed that much with, like, a semifinal win. If you go 2-for and you go all the way to the championship game, maybe you get up 1 seed line with a notable win late. But BYU's got a couple weeks to figure some things out without Richie Saunders. Not words that we expected to say here when we started the game Saturday, but here we are on Monday morning, BYU trying to figure it out without Richie.
Yeah, and it doesn't get any easier. Number 22, BYU men's basketball back in action Wednesday on the road, taking on number one Arizona in Tucson. And they're coming off back-to-back losses. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio.
After the break here, Spencer Linton's conversation with Kevin Young after the Colorado game. But before we go to break, we want to acknowledge the passing of Patty Edwards at the age of 93. She was the matriarch, the first lady of Cougar football, as the wife of Lavelle Edwards. Saturday during BYU Sports Nation Countdown, Blaine Fowler shared his thoughts on the legacy of Patty.
She made the BYU football program a family affair for everybody, and she embraced the wives of the players and the coaches and had meetings with all of them and took care of them. She just basically put her arms around everybody that ever came through the program that wasn't actually a player. She did with the players, too. Believe me, we all loved her. And Brenda's had a great association with her throughout the years, and recently she would go to lunch with her often. They're still good friends just up until she passed. But Brenda started to take notes this last several months, because she said she is so sharp in her early 90s that she would lay truth bombs on them. Great, great bits of advice that Brenda would come home and write. So we have that.
BYU 90 and Colorado 86.
To the long Decatur.
Lowers the shoulder into Hargress. Fades away. He's got 30.
Swatted by DeMonza. Tyler Mraz filling in for Richie Saunders.
DeBonza has numbers and scoops it in.
Pitch three, got it!
Live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepard. Saturday full of emotion with Jimmer Fredette's jersey retirement. BYU playing Colorado in an important game that they need to win to avoid a quad three loss. They win in OT, but the story of the day, Shep, was Richie Saunders going down with an ACL tear. He's out for the year, so now BYU has perhaps its toughest week of the year, and they have some major question marks to fill.
Yeah, well, look, you've got a game Wednesday night in Tucson against their number one right now. They're not going to be number one by the time the rankings come out a little bit later on today. They've now lost two in a row, lost both games last week.
I'd put Michigan at one.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. And they may be down Koa Pete and one other player as well. So this is a really important game for them.
Absolutely.
And
they hate that they lost to BYU at home last year.
Yes.
With two Richie Saunders free throws.
Yeah, 100%. So it's it's a big week. And like you said, and like we talked about in the last segment, you know, you do have a couple of games, a couple of weeks to try and see how this works out without Richie and who's can step up and what the rotations can look like, so that maybe by the time you do hit Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament and then ultimately the NCAA tournament, you've kind of found something that will work for this team moving forward.
Yep, paging Tyler Mraz, Alexei Kostic, Hadim Boop. I think those are the three that probably need to raise their game a bit. Here we go. Let's get to an early edition of today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
All right, as was just mentioned, number 22, BYU basketball beat Colorado 90-86 in overtime on Saturday at the Marriott Center to improve their record to 19-6 overall and 7-5 in the Big 12. Rob Wright was elite, scoring a career-high 39 points just 4 days after scoring a then-career-high 30 points in the win at Baylor.
So a new career-high 40 Wednesday would be great. Just keep it going. It's just every game.
Every game is a new career-high. No pressure, Rob. A.J. DeBonza added 20 points, a career-high 13 rebounds, as well as 8 assists and 3 steals in the win. Up next, BYU heads to Tucson to take on Arizona Wednesday night.
BYU star Richie Saunders left Saturday's game against Colorado with an injury in the first minute of the game. Yesterday, Richie and BYU announced he is out for the remainder of the year with an ACL tear, finishing not only his season, but his BYU career. On the season, Saunders averaged 18 points per game and 6 rebounds. Saunders finishes his BYU career with 1,544 points, good for 17th in program history, 8th in three-pointers made with 205.
Yegor Dioman played in the NBA Rising Stars game on Friday night as part of NBA All-Star Weekend this past weekend in Los Angeles. Dioman had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block, helping lead Team Vince to the Rising Stars Championship.
Notable record-breaking performances from BYU track and field this weekend. Riley Chamberlain shattered the NCAA record in the mile in indoor, beating the record by nearly 3 seconds with a time of 4:20.61. Incredible. Freshman Jane Hennigren ran in the same race. Her time of 4:22.22 would have also broken the NCAA record. She now has the third fastest mile time in NCAA history. Other school records broken Saturday. Paige Rasmussen broke the 60-meter record. Rasmussen, Marianne Barber, Callie McEwen, Sammy Oblad broke the 4x400 record. On the men's side, freshman Tavon Kitchen set the record in the 3K, also good for the 8th fastest time in NCAA history. And Carter Cutting, shout out Wilsonville, Oregon, broke his own school record in the indoor mile with a time of 3:52.84. What a weekend in indoor track.
None of them would have held a candle to high school Jerem Jordan.
There's no comment that even makes sense after that.
Number 7, men's volleyball won their 7th straight match over the weekend with 2 wins against Menlo, both in 3 sets. Saturday's match ended with this ace from freshman Tennyson Lighthall in his first career appearance and first career serve attempt.
Tennyson Lighthall's first serve on match point. He's going to rip into this, baby. Career serve.
I thought you just saw maybe ace in the crowd.
Ace DiBonzo.
Cougars now 11-2 on the season and will host Fort Valley in 2 matches this weekend.
Women's basketball lost 76-46 at Colorado Saturday, highlighted by Yegor Dielman joining Jason Shepard at halftime. 46 points, the fewest points scored by BYU so far this season. Third straight road loss by 20-plus. BYU's got to figure it out on the road a bit. Up next, BYU looks to bounce back at home against Cincinnati tomorrow.
Number 23, gymnastics, scored a 196.025 on the road at Utah on Friday night. It was the 3rd consecutive meet, scoring 196-plus for the Cougars. Notably, senior Kylie Aquinto competed in the all-around for the first time this season and scored a career-high 39.275.
BYU baseball opened the season 1-2 at Western Kentucky. Badcats won game 1, 3-2, dropped games 2 and 3. They'll look to even the series today, coming up in just 90 minutes at 2 Eastern on BYU Radio.
Softball dropped 3 games at the States Up Invitational in Texas this weekend, falling to 1-8 to start the season. BYU will look to get back in the win column at the Mary Nutter Classic beginning Thursday.
Men's golf took 9th as a team. Freshman Kihei Akina took 6th overall at the John A. Burns Intercollegiate in Hawaii over the weekend. 6th place finish for Akina, the 5th time in his freshman season he's finished in the top 10.
And the Big 12 schedule is out for women's soccer this fall. The defending Big 12 tournament champs, BYU Cougars, host UCF, TCU, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Utah, and Arizona State.
And BYU released another statement regarding the status of wide receiver Parker Kingston. As of Friday, Parker Kingston is no longer a student at Brigham Young University and is no longer a member of the BYU football team. University administration and athletic administration, including BYU head coach Kalani Sitake, were only made aware of the investigation and allegations after Kingston's arrest this past Wednesday, February 11th. Coming up after the break, Kevin Young's conversation with Spencer after the Colorado game on the win, and a look ahead to Wednesday's game at Arizona. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Following BYU's overtime win, 90-86 against Colorado, Spencer Linton spoke with head coach Kevin Young on what he liked from the win, handling the emotions of the Richie Saunders injury, and at the time, BYU did not know for sure it was an ACL. And a look ahead to Wednesday's rematch with Arizona, who will be probably in the top 5 still.
You overcame a lot in this game, emotionally losing Richie early in the game. Colorado puts up a fight, you battle. What was the key to grinding out this win?
Just that, grinding it, staying with it, not getting too emotionally, challenged with the way that that situation with Richie happened, and then obviously a dogfight of a game against a team that you feel like, the spread should have been a little more comfortable throughout the course of the game. But I knew it was going to be a game, man. Look, what Coach Boyle said after they got smacked at Texas Tech, you knew he was going to have his guys ready. They responded, but so did our guys. I think there's this league is very difficult. It's hard to win in our league, and so proud of our guys in an adverse type night where we were able to come out and find a way to get a big win.
How would you explain the emotions of the locker room right now after you left it?
Happy we got the win, and get out of here and tell your mom happy Valentine's Day, and we'll worry about everything else tomorrow.
Fair enough. Rob Wright III, 39 points, clearly gave you a huge lift. What has made him so effective over the past few games?
Just being under control, obviously shooting the ball really well too, but I think his ability to drive and get to his spot, but just be under control. That's really what he's excelled at the last couple of games. And then, you know, his ability to space the floor as a catch and shoot guy has been really, really consistent all year long, and that was on display tonight as well.
You mentioned the catch and shoot scenario. You opted to keep the ball in AJ's hands a lot today and have Rob play off the ball. Why did you like that approach?
Well, I mean, AJ generates a lot of good offense for us, and you know, especially with Richie out of the game, you know, Rob's a guy that can, like I said, space the floor. So we needed some of that, and that's what tonight called for. But, you know, AJ was distributing the ball, you know, probably forced a couple shots to give Rancic credit. I thought he did a good job defensively on him. But again, to your question on Rob, like, you know, it's just a weapon that we can use him in different parts of the game.
What are you thinking when you see Alexi Kostic shoot that ball with a minute 15 to go in overtime?
Well, he's a stone cold type of guy. You know, he's played in a lot of big games overseas with his national team and things like that. So he doesn't really get fazed by the moment. You know, I think I would borderline say relishes in the moment. So, you know, it was we had a hard time kind of getting clean looks, and sometimes you need a shot like that to go in. But, you know, good for him to have some poise and knock it down.
I know Richie's being evaluated right now and it's early, but what can you tell us about the status of his injury?
Nothing. I'm waiting to hear like everybody else.
In the meantime, you try and find ways to produce without him. Tyler Morus came in immediately after. So I know, it's early, but what's the approach moving forward if he is not available?
TBD, man. We'll have to wait and hear what's going on, and then just, you know, we'll have a lot of things to think about.
What do you think of AJ's performance today? Because clearly Colorado was trying to make him super frustrated.
Well, I thought he handled it well, but again, you know, Rancic is 6'11", moves his feet, long arms. You know, that was a good matchup for them. They did a good job of not taking the bait on a lot of the – we were trying to screen with the smalls to get him off of them. So he made it difficult on him. His length was good. But I thought AJ was poised, made some big plays for us. And, you know, some nights I got to do a better job of getting him in better positions. And so that'll be something I examine for sure on the film.
How'd you feel about your team's performance defensively overall?
We had our moments. Yeah, I mean, Johnson's a good little player. I thought we were trying to mix up our coverages on him and Hargreaves. And so I thought in the key moments of the game, we made a coverage change that kind of helped at least get one stop. But, you know, we got to be a lot more consistent on that end of the floor.
How does a game like this, as frustrating as it was, benefit you moving forward?
Winning it. Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to win. It is, you know, and it's you got to take care of what's in front of you. And every game, again, I say this literally, I think maybe every post game, every game has a life of its own. And so what can we take from this game to learn from? You know, the season is a process. You know, you want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year. And for me, it's just about, you know, reference points too. Like, okay, against Colorado, we had to go to this against, you know what I mean? And so I think being able to point to that. And also too, man, there's just something to be said about finding a way to win games. Bottom line, you know, I think you look across the landscape of college basketball, you know, on paper, you know, that clearly would have been an upset, no question about it, if they were to knock us off. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough to win league games. And like I said, I have a lot of respect for Coach Boyle. You knew they were going to be ready. I told our guys that. We told our guys that. So I think the main thing you can take away from a game like this is just flat out being able to get a win.
Basketball is a fickle beast. You keep saying it. Situational basketball, no doubt about it. What's item number one on your agenda as you get ready for Arizona next Wednesday?
Number one, just going back in and re-examining the film. You know, I thought, you know, we had a really, I think, solid game plan. We took them out of their strengths, truth be told. I mean, their strengths are their bigs. You know, we did a good job against their bigs, and the guards kicked our butt. So kudos to them for being able to adjust in game. And so now we got to figure out how we can try to continue to negate their bigs, but then also do a better job on their guard play. But that's the fun part of coaching, is to be able to dive into tape, you know, get a great opportunity to go down to their building. Obviously, they're having a great year. It'll be a good chance for us to try to go get a huge win on the road.
A clear and prominent side story to this game is honoring Jimmer Fredette. What do you think about when I say the name Jimmer Fredette?
Just that era, man, was just incredible, right? Just the way that it took the country by storm. I was living in Provo at the time, ironically, and just – you know, one-of-a-kind type story, you know, and he's such an unbelievable person, you know, husband, father, I think ambassador for the school, for the church. Really have enjoyed getting to know him a little bit better. It's funny because when he got done here, and he was making his pro journey, I coached against him as a player when he was in the G League. So to kind of have everything sort of tie it back, we had that dinner last night honoring him. I thought that was a first-class event, but just amazing. Oh, there it is. There's the jersey hanging up there. That's incredible, man. Like, what a cool moment for him and his family, and glad we were able to, get a win for him on his night.
Yeah, your team worked hard for that win. Congratulations on that, Coach. We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you.
Injury means for BYU men's basketball. Are his expectations changing? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
I'm Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. We welcome in Jonathan Tavernari, who you heard a moment ago from BYUSN wrap-up on Saturday. So many emotions, JT, with Jimmer Fredette's jersey retirement and the opportunity to win a Big 12 game, yet it all was unfortunately overshadowed by Richie Saunders going down 45 seconds in. So how are you feeling a couple days later, now that we know it was an ACL tear?
You know, it's kind of like when you go to one of those cheap state park roller coasters that you just go back and forth, and then you get out and you're like, whoa, why did I do that? And I'm still feeling it. It's emotional. I'm sad. I'm heartbroken. We were just chatting. I feel like Richie represented a dying breed of collegiate athletes that stayed with the same university for his whole career. True blue through and through. Everything good and right about BYU, about being an ambassador for BYU, for the church, for what the institution represents. And obviously, add to the fact that he's a tremendous basketball player. We saw him grow before our eyes, right? I'll never forget this. His sophomore year, there was an exhibition game or something, and Spencer was doing a post-game interview with him, and he said, you look more comfortable over there. And Richie was like, well, last year was difficult, but we learned and we got better and we worked the things that we needed to work. And so, I think that's one of the things that hits home for most of us, is because, are we ever going to see another BYU guy that stays for 4 years and that develops and improves like Mitchie was, the norm 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so lots of emotions still, at least from my side.
It's interesting because, expectations, everybody has their own expectations for this team, for how good they could be, for each individual player. Based off of what your expectations were prior to the injury, how different are your expectations now, or are they?
Chef, right off the bat. If anybody says that the expectations haven't changed, I have magic beans brought from Brazil that are ready to be sold. Richie does a lot of things that nobody can replace. Representing BYU and what it means to be a Cougar and what it means to wear the uniform and the hustle and just how hard he played, right? I think back, I went back and looked at some stats. It always felt like Richie was making a play in terms of, there was a moment in the second half that BYU was, I think it was up three, and Colorado had three wide open looks and three, and twice they had just a loose ball that went to Colorado. Those are the type of 50-50 plays that Richie has never lost. And if he lost, it was because it was a jump ball. And so, aside from his scoring, aside from the rebounding, aside from being the emotional leader, there's also the fact that Richie was the number one three-point target for this team. And, Kostic came clutch in the end in overtime and knocked down a huge three. Mihailo knocked down a three early in the game. But, Richie was the only one that was consistently making them bunches off the ball, right? Because AJ and Rob create their own shot. And so, it's unfortunate, because if you really stop to think about it, this BYU team now has four players that suffered season-ending injuries. And these are four guys that were supposed to be rotation guys. And four guys that were supposed to play, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Nate Pickens, Brody Kozlowski, Dawson Baker, and now Richie Saunders.
It's really hard. And BYU has perhaps its hardest week of the season coming up. At Arizona, who's dropped two last week. Cole Pete got hurt in that second half loss at home against Texas Tech. And then home to Iowa State, who just punked Kansas. So who do you insert into the starting lineup in place of Richie Saunders at this point?
You know, I got to be honest with you. You know, it's a conversation that I had with some people that I won't name, but it reminds me of the situation last year where, you know, Yegor need more space to adapt. And I kept telling, you know, the powers that be, why don't you start Trevin now? Like, you need to create more space. You know, like, I love Dallin Hall, but you need to create space. And so I got to tell you, I would just roll the dice and I would go with Kostic. And I would then tell Kostic every day that he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Shoot everything that comes your way. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Keep shooting and, you know, ask questions later. BYU need outside, an outside threat. Let me put it that way. And, you know, AJ is a mid-range guy. You know, Rob gets to the rim. You know, Kennard is supposed to be the defensive player. And, you know, he does a solid job with catch and shoot. I would go with Kostic because, you know, bringing him off the bench to be able to get him going, that's what I would do if I were Kevin Young.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked so much about the big three and just how fantastic those three players have been for BYU and carried this team this season. Now the big three is a big two, and AJ and Rob certainly more than capable of just putting even more on their shoulders, and I'm sure that's how they're approaching this. But what does it mean for AJ and Rob now that Richie's not there?
Well, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a sec, Jace, but like, sure. Is AJ capable of scoring another 5-10 points a game? Can Rob sustain this 30-point, you know, scoring spree that he's on? Sure. Let's live in a world that they can do that. What is that going to do to their body and to their resilience once you get, you know, you have six games left, you have, you know, arguably the toughest week of the year with, you know, two top 10 teams. And then when you go to the Big 12 tournament and you're going to play, you know, 3, 4, 5 games potentially in a 5-6 day span. And then you go to the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, you know, these guys are going to have to, you know, eat, sleep and go to sleep in a hyperbaric chamber to recover their bodies. Right. Or they do the daredevil thing that he goes underwater to sleep. I mean, you know, can they do what you're talking about? You know, Jace, I think they can, right? You know, and when we were wrapping up the post game show, I said Batman and Robin. What I should have said, you know, what I thought of said, is they're gonna have to do the Batman and Superman thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna have to put in the whole Justice League on their back, and you know, about who you insert in the starting lineup. Maybe you insert, you know, Hadeem. And here's the other thing, too. You know, like, we heard from Kevin Young after the game. Keb has been dealing with a hand injury. You know, Beto hasn't been much of a threat on the offensive glass. But Robbie McCombs made a good point. You know, he is a top 10 blocker right now, right? And so maybe if you can figure out a way for him to be able to get a few more rebounds, you know, there is hope out there. I think at this point, you know, just get through these next few games, you get in the NCAA tournament, and then you freaking let AJ lose. You know what I mean? And then you just let him lose and say, AJ, go be legendary. You know, go do the Jimmer thing. And I, you know, can BYU still get to the Final Four? That is a tall order, right? And so, but again, you have to adapt. You know, the cop-out thing to say is, oh, next man up. But at a certain point in time, when you get four guys from your rotation, you know, that are down, you start running out of men.
And we were talking about it earlier, too. It's concerning the way BYU is playing, even with Richie, defensively. You know, Oklahoma State happens, and, you know, you win at Baylor, but there's a furious run at the end there. It's another game where you're both in the 90s. This was an overtime game, 90-86 with Colorado. The way BYU was playing, even with Richie, is concerning, especially on defense. Now the usage rate will go higher for AJ and Rob, and what does that mean for them, as you mentioned? So the way BYU is playing, how do they counteract things, not only from a personnel standpoint replacing Richie, but of a we still need to buckle down on defense?
Well, you called Rick Pitino and said, I need some tips on how to be great for 40 minutes as zone defense. And
but not, you know, on fighting, just, right?
Well, but not on fighting, right? And so, but, you know, you, I did see a meme that says, you know, you don't have to get ready when you stay ready. And it's Rick Pitino with his hands up. And, you know, and I, that was funny. But I think, you know, that was something that I wanted to have mentioned, you know, on Shep's question, which is AJ and Rob able to take on that scoring burden, right? Let's just do the Jimmer thing of, coach, how many points a game is Brandon Davies averaging? You know, I'll take care of the scoring. You got someone to rebound. Can they do that with Richie's points? That's difficult, man. You know, adding 10 points per game to your average, that's the stuff of legends. But more so than that is exactly what you just mentioned, JJ, which is, you know, like, you still have to play defense. You know what I mean? And something that I was talking to Blaine Fowler, you know, after the show on Saturday, after the game, is I'm like, luck plays such an important role on things. And he mentioned to me that on the 1984 national championship team for BYU, they started the same 12 guys on defense for almost 13 games. That's, when was the last time you ever heard of something like that? You know, and so it's just one of those things that it's unfortunate. You know, there's going to be a lot of different schemes because, again, it is, you know, you can't play zone defense for 40 minutes. It's going to be interesting. And I think that, you know, the emotional part of all of this comes to the fact that, you know, BYU was threading in the right direction and then dropped a few games that you weren't expecting. And then from there, you know, things just started kind of feeling glumsy. And then, you know, just everything just, you know, kind of culminated with Richie's injury on Saturday.
JT, you mentioned the roller coaster that Saturday was. And certainly, though, one of the high points was the jersey retirement ceremony for the great Jimmer Fredette. And, you know, for a lot of people, their memories of BYU basketball are about Jimmer Fredette. He is the guy that they think of when they think of BYU basketball. He deserved every bit of the honor that he received. How excited were you, and what did you make of the festivities that just ended up fantastic?
Well, and so that's the thing, right? I mean, you know, I was there for Jimmer's recruiting visit. I was there for, you know, and I sent out a tweet on this. Like, I was there for the early days where, I mean, you know, Jeremy, you remember because, you know, our time at BYU and you being on BYU TV, you know, and Cougar Diaries back then, right? And, you know, Jimmer wasn't, like, great his freshman year. His sophomore year, he got a little bit better, but, you know, he still wasn't, like, you know, Jimmer mania. And so I got to see the development, the hunger, the hard work, the sacrifice, the effort. And to me, that's the coolest thing, right? You know, when he almost went and played in Italy. I had a couple of conversations with him and different agents that had approached me. The three-on-three situation with Team USA, Frank Franchella reached out to me and I connected them. And so Jimmer and I have had a great relationship for, you know, almost 20 years now. And, you know, like, to see him get everything that he has gotten and never change. You know, Dave Rose, the only thing that Jimmer has changed is his sense of fashion, thanks to Whitney. you know, but, you know, and, but like, he's just the greatest. You know, the family is the greatest. You know, his mom is the sweetest, Al and TJ. And, you know, it's just so, you know, overwhelming. And, you know, I had to fight back tears when the jersey was being retired because, like, that's my guy. Like, we were in so many battles together. And, you know, you feel like you're a part of it, right? And, you know, he did say, like, thanks for my teammates to letting me shoot so much. I don't know if I let him shoot so much. You know, I thought that I should be shooting some of those shots, you know. But he's an amazing guy, a great ambassador for the church, and you could not be happier for a better guy.
Yeah, it was a spectacular moment. We were all concerned about Richie at that point, but isolated by itself, one of the great moments in BYU basketball history. JT, yeah. We appreciate the time. As always, great insight. We hope BYU can have a great week. Let's go.
Hey, I have my CTR ring on. I have my rosary that my mom gave me. I don't know what else to do, Jay. I don't know what else to do, guys. They're just hoping for things to work doing games right now.
Playing both sides, I see. JT, we appreciate it.
Thanks, JT.
Jonathan Tavernier on BYU Sports Nation.
All right, BYU baseball. We'll look to even the series with Western Kentucky in the series finale later this afternoon. Coverage begins at 2 p.m. Eastern time on BYU Radio.
I'm calling it Cosmo over Big Red again. 2020. Today's Rise and Shout-Up, sent by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Got to give it to Richie Saunders. What an incredible BYU career.
Ah, I'm bummed, man. For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout-out to James Anderson. Go Cougs!